You know, there's an old children's song from I forget who did it a long time ago, but it goes like this. Do this and live, the law commands, but neither gives you feet nor hands. A better way his grace does bring, it bids you fly and gives you wings. That's Christianity. Grace doesn't ever require anything of you that's not already been given you. Faithful is he, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, who called you, who also will do it. And revival is when you get into the groove of Jesus being the one who's doing it in every situation, every circumstance, whatever it is you're called to do. Inner healing, again, is about removing stuff in the way that gets in the way, that makes it difficult for you to release Jesus doing what he wants to do. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 10, that the death that he died to sin once, but the life that he lives to God. He doesn't just live that life in heaven. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He lives that life in you and lives that life in me. Jesus Christ is the only person who can live a godly life. Jesus Christ is the supernatural presence inside of you. The anointing isn't a thing. You with me? It's not an it. It's a person. His name is Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do tonight in this next session, I just want to share some things with you about bestowing, about being bestowed, about the Lord doing stuff. If everything he requires of you, everything he requires of you, he's bestowed to you and in you so that you can do the thing that he requires. Religion says, I demand you, I demand you, I demand you to get here. Jesus says, I'm going to impart to you, you're here. Now go act out being here. You got it, now go do it. Religion says, do it so you can get it. Jesus says, you got it, now go do it. You understand the difference? There's a big, big difference. I forget where to start. For the Witts and for Ron and for the Finleys, I apologize that some of these things you'll hear again. You heard last week, but I run out of new things to say. So this is Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see where we start. We start in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and is in all. Listen to what he says. Jesus is the church is the fullness of him. And therefore, churches should express the fullness of Jesus. What we do corporately should look like the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus. But that's also true of us individually who make up the church corporately. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. If you're a Christian, you're filled. It says he fills all and he's in all. If you're a believer, Jesus Christ lives inside of you and you have all the fullness that Jesus has in you right now. Every one of you. Already do. Already got it. Bestowed. Hear me? Fills all and is in all. If you're one of the all, then you've been filled and he's inside of you. So you got it all. What we call fullness of the Spirit or getting this or that, it's about releasing something you already have. What's going to happen to you this weekend, if you go for it, if you give yourself to it, if this becomes a priority of your life, let me just say this to you again. Make this the most important thing in your life. Nothing, no barrier, no hindrances. You're going after it this time. No excuses, no explaining, no defending, no rationalizing. I'm going after it. And if I pogo stick across the floor the whole weekend, then I'll pogo stick across the floor. If I dance and scream and holler, whatever it is that Jesus does in you, let him do. He's going to make the high place is low and the low place is high. It's going to do all those things. The presence of the Lord is going to rush in. It's going to rain on your life from heaven, a time of refreshing. And God's going to fill you with what you're full of in your experience. But he's filled all and he's in all. That's really encouraging to me, because sometimes the things of God are presented like it's something out there and you got to go after it. And you got to reach after it. But the truth is, you got it. That's a lot easier for me to embrace. And that's what the scripture is so clear about in the New Testament. All righty. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. He who descended, Jesus, is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This word there is experience, experiential knowledge, of the Son of God, to a mature Christian, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He says he ascended to fill all things so that you could walk in the fullness of Christ. That's normal Christianity, living in the fullness of Christ. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians has fallen apart. Verse 11. I'm going to start in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, for you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You've put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. That's a description of a new person in Christ. That's a description of the new self. That's a description of a new creation. That's a description of a Christian. Christ is all, and he's in all. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9. For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of deity is embodied. Hear that again. For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of deity is embodied. And in him, you have been made complete. For in him, all the fullness of deity is embodied, and in him you have been made complete. Now, the word complete is a real sneaky little word. It means complete. It can be also, it's the same word about fullness, it's the word fullness. And it has the idea, have you ever poured like a glass of water, and you poured it so tall, so full, that it sort of rounded off at the top? If you put one more drop, it would like start running down the side. That's the word here. You can't get anything else in there. You have been, past tense, you, plural, have been made complete in Christ. Why in Christ? Because in Christ, all the fullness of deity is embodied. And therefore, if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, then you have everything that Jesus has, and you can't get more complete than that. All the patience that Jesus has, you have. All the love that Jesus has, you have. All the peace that Jesus has, you have. All the anointing that Jesus has, you have. I remember one time, I tell this story around a lot, but not that long ago, I was just crying out to God, God, I was hungry for the things of the Lord. I wanted to experience more, and I was going, God, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all. And I did that for like 2 weeks. And I was in my office where I spend my footstool time in the mornings. And then one day, like an audible voice, it wasn't audible, but it filled the room. And I said, Lord, I want it all. And I was crying. And I was really kind of proud of myself that I wanted it so bad. I was like crying, really sincere. And then all of a sudden, this booming voice goes, so do I, Chuck. And then the tears dried up really quick. And he said, and I get to go first. And I went, yikes. He was not near as impressed with my sincerity as I was. And I knew that what it meant. There were just some things, Chuck. And I want to deal with in your life. I want to show you some attitudes, some little stuff, little foxes that destroy the vineyard that we tolerate, we excuse, we call them something else. Personality, we excuse it with our personality or our situation or our circumstances. And so I began to let, God began to deal with me at an accelerated level. And it was painful, but it was gloriously painful. It was wonderful. And then one day I was over here lighting these candles, which, you know, as long as these candles burn, your prayer continues. It's charismatic. It's awesome. And so I light a candle, and so I know that, like, for the next 10 hours, that prayer is just going to be like a memorial lifted up to heaven, like Cornelius's was in Acts chapter 10. And I'm just like going, God, I want it all. And the Lord said, Chuck, you got it all. And he's been teaching me that for 30 years. I went, oh, yeah. I said, well, then my prayer is I want to experience it all. And then he says, then why don't you just receive it all? Because the Christian life is by faith. And so that's kind of what God's been dealing with me, because I do still want to experience it all. And I'm learning how to repent and receive it all. But I love this. Made complete in him. Listen to what it says in John chapter 16. This is John chapter 16. Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit and what he's going to do when he comes. In verse 14, he says, he shall glorify me, and he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. Make it your experience. Make it real to you. All things, now this is what Jesus said again, he shall take what's mine and shall disclose it to you. And then he goes on and explains what's his. Holy Spirit's going to take what's mine, he's going to make it real to you, and then he says, and all things that the Father has are mine. That's a bunch. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So go back to that verse. For all the fullness of deity is embodied in Jesus, and you've been made complete in him, because everything that the Father has, everything that God has, is in Jesus, and Jesus is where? In you. And you're in him, which we'll talk about more tomorrow. Being in Christ, Christ being in you, the whole reality. So no wonder he says that you've been made complete. I remember one time when this really hit me big time. Actually, Liv and I were driving down to Mobile to see my sister. And I was just under some attack in my emotions and different stuff. And so what I did is I started digging around for another demon or another issue or whatever. And the Lord said to me, he said, Chuck, you're complete in me. Everything that you need to live life and life more abundantly, you've got. So why don't you just abide in me? Instead of living a life of constant introspection, why don't you just start abiding in me, and that completion is just going to come forth. Oh, wow, that was so liberating. Now, I say that, saying to you, you're going to be, Holy Spirit's going to dig around and deal with some stuff, but in the end, there comes a place where you have to walk this thing out. I get, you know, we're not like, oh my gosh, now the next the demon of the week kind of thing. No, you got the Jesus of eternity living inside of you, and that makes you complete. Amen? Again, I quoted this verse earlier. Just read it to you. You're familiar with it, I know. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us, plural, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, where? In Christ. Now, what spiritual blessing are you looking for? The anointing to heal the sick, the thing to do this, to walk in more peace, to love people better, to be a person who's a quicker forgiver. Every spiritual blessing you have been blessed with in the heavenly places in Christ. That ought to be an encouragement to you. That everything you cried out for, you got. Now, the issue is how do we get it out and release in our life, right? But at least you got it. You may not know how to open up the present, but it's nice to have the present. You're still not waiting for UPS to show up with the present. It's kind of lost somewhere, but I gave you a tracking number. When my son Wood got born, they didn't say, now here he is. Now the fingers didn't show up, but they'll come in a couple of weeks. And there's a couple of toes missing, and a few weeks later that'll come. Now, the heart's not here, but in about a month or two, the heart arrived. But that, no, he was complete. He had everything that he needed. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, what was restored to him was the life that he had lost. When Adam sinned, the life of Christ, the life of God, that was intended to fill human beings, was lost because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When you became a Christian, the life that had been lost in Adam, which is a supernatural life, was restored to you. The problem wasn't and isn't that you don't have what's necessary. The problem is that Lazarus had grave clothes all over him. And those grave clothes didn't mean he didn't have the life. It just meant he wasn't free to live the life. And that's why Jesus said, I'm not content with the life lost, restored. I want him to be free. Now, set him free, release him, so that he can enjoy the life that had been restored. That's Christianity. 2 Peter chapter 2, in chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power, now hear these words again, these verbs, has granted to us, past tense, plural, everything. In the Greek, everything means everything. Has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now let this sink inside of you, because it'll liberate your life. It doesn't mean that when somebody prays for you, we prayed, those of you who came to the healing conference, we pray for impartation all the time. Oh, what impartation happens, like if I'm walking in a level of the life of Christ in a certain area that you're still lacking in, one of God's shortcuts is I can pray for you, and that thing that you got in you can get stirred up and released. Because I have a lot of faith for that, because I'm experiencing it. You with me? You don't get something else. Complete means complete. Hear that word. So I thank God for laying on hands. I thank God for impartation. But it just releases something that was already there to come forth. You got to steward it, or it'll kind of slide back into hiding, but it's there. Alrighty? So he says, everything pertains to life and godliness. We've been given through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Thank you, Lord. For by these he has, past tense, granted us, plural, his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of divine nature. See, as we walk in faith in the promises of God, we partake of the divine nature. But you already are a possessor of the divine nature. You got it all in Christ. Faith just allows you to partake of what you already possess. Amen? So a good example would be, and I'm motivated to give this example because I'm not eating sugar right now, so if somebody gives you a chocolate fudge pie, you are a possessor. But if you can't eat it, you're not a partaker of what you possess. It's a lot more fun to partake than it is just to possess. Right, Jed? Jed makes buttermilk pies. It's a lot more fun. It may be fun to cook them, Jed, but let me just tell you, it's more fun to eat them than it is to cook them. Amen. Second Corinthians 5:17 is really familiar, right? Verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away, and new things have come. So I'm not trying to impress you, but this the verbs here, old things, he says, behold, old things have passed away. That's a tense that says, the old things are gone. Put them off. That's why the scripture uses those words. Put it off. Put off the old man. It's not who you are anymore. But he says, behold, new things have come. And the language there is, the verb there, the tense there, is that it is completed action in the past, but it has continual present tense discovery and experience. You have everything. You're not the old creation. You're a new creation. And everything that you need, you got, but every day you're like recovering or discovering it and experiencing it and entering into it. Amen? Galatians 2:20, great passage. I love the way it says it in the King James Version. For I am crucified with Christ. I love that verse because it's sort of a schizophrenic verse. I am crucified with Christ, okay? So I'm gone, right? I'm crucified with Christ. Nobody survives crucifixion. I'm crucified with Christ, gone. Nevertheless, I live back. That can't be both and. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, gone again. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. I'm back again. Twice I'm gone, twice I'm back. What is he saying? The person I once was, the unregenerate person, under condemnation, and without the life of Christ. So just functioning in the flesh, doing the best I can with my intellect and my willpower and my personality. That person died. That person died in the person of Jesus who represented us, who died not on the cross just for us. He died on the cross as us. And in his person, the guilty sinner who was on his own without the life of Christ died. Was buried with Jesus, and then was raised up a whole new creation, now forgiven, and there's no condemnation now because Jesus took the guilty sinner in his person to the cross, and the guilty sinner, Aaron, was executed in the person of Jesus. David was executed for his crimes in the person of Jesus. Rick was executed in the person of Jesus. Penalty paid by you. But in the person of Jesus. That's our substitute. That person was buried. And now a whole new king, whole new person was raised up. And this person now is no longer guilty because the sinner, the criminal, has been executed. And this person now is not who you once were because Christ is all and in all. You're a new creation that now contains the very life of Jesus. And your now capacities are totally different. Before, you lived the life in the flesh, which is all you had. Now you can live supernaturally because Jesus lives inside of you. It changes everything. It changes the way you approach marriage, life, friends, every temptation. Now you can choose to live like you're still the old man and choose to live like you're still in the flesh. You can still choose as if you to live like you're under condemnation. How many of us do that? Spend our time all the time, oh, no, God, you hate me, and you're so yada, yada, yada. There's a difference between being guilty of something and you're wrong, but being under condemnation is being under a sentence. We can choose to live like that, but that's a lie. Who you are in Christ is who Christ is in you. And the Christian life is the life that Jesus lives through you. And your life as a new creation is enjoying the life that Jesus Christ lives in you and through you. So it makes it supernatural. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, not that we're adequate of ourselves and think anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. You ever felt inadequate? Let me just tell you something. It's not a feeling. It's real. In your humanity, on your own, you are inadequate. You cannot be a godly husband, godly wife, godly friend, godly employee, godly employer. You can't be that on your own, no matter how hard you try, and no matter how hard you do it for Jesus. You can roll up your sleeves, promise him again, you're going to do better, you're going to give him your best. But it's not going to work. It never has worked before. Instead, Jesus wants you to experience his best. He himself lives inside of you. And he doesn't need you trying to act like Christ. He knows how to be himself. He's been himself for a long time. He knows exactly how to do it through your personality. That's the Christian life. I quoted this verse before, but from Colossians chapter 4, chapter 3, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 4. Since then, in light of the fact, as a new creation, you've been raised up with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. In other words, start learning about who you are. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you, the person that you once were, died. And your life is hidden with Christ. Now, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Those are great, great scriptures. Where'd my Bible go? Oh, there it was. Did you steal my Bible, Pete?
As far as you know.
Don't do the Bible, man. If you steal my Bible, I'm selling insurance for a living. Because everything I know is written in here. Now, everything I'm saying to you is about what? He stole. When you became a Christian, you know what makes you a Christian? The person of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, don't you know that Christ lives inside of you, lest you be a reprobate? That word reprobate means you're not the genuine article. I mean, it doesn't matter to me what kind of gyrations you go through or rituals you go through. Those are all awesome. But the result, if the result isn't that Jesus Christ has now come to live inside of you, you're not a Christian. Don't you know that Christ lives in you, he said, lest you be a reprobate? It says in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. The great mystery of God that's been revealed now is that Christ in you is your hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, of course, if all the fullness of deity is embodied in Jesus, if everything the Father has, Jesus has, and Jesus Christ lives in you, you know what? I reckon, that's a good Southern term, I reckon you got everything necessary that pertains to life and godliness. Whatever you need to face life in a godly way, you got it. And I mean that not just in character, but that's in ministry. What's the godly way of dealing with the sick? Healing them. What's the godly way of dealing with the demonic? Get rid of them. And your hope for godly living, which is supernatural, both in character and in ministry, is Christ living inside of you. For you to walk in the glory of God, to experience the glory of God, to manifest the glory of God in ministry, is Christ in you, which is your hope of glory. It's not the hope for heaven. It's hope of walking in glory. We're called to carry the glory. And Christ in you is your hope of glory. Listen, the Christianity is not a formula. Christianity is not a thing. Christianity is not an event. Christianity is not some moment. It's not a peak. Christianity is a person. It's a person. And that person lives inside of you. This is a hymn book, H-I-M. It's all about a person. We don't study this thing to get more theology, to get systematic theology, or figure it all out. It's to encounter him. This is encounter for dummies. There have been a lot of Christians throughout the centuries who couldn't read, didn't have access to a Bible, but they could encounter God. I'm grateful that God makes it easy for our generation, aren't you, in our culture? There are millions of Christians around the world. There are millions of Christians in Africa who can't read. Does that mean they can't encounter God? No, they can encounter him. They carry his presence. We met a woman over there one time and was living in a dung hut. She was a Maasai. Bishop Moses is a Maasai, and he's awesome. And his mother lived in a dung hut in their little Minyata-like village thing, they call it. And she, I forget how old she was, but she was really old. And she was like an intercessor. And began to tell events, others began to tell events about things that affected the nation of Kenya that were representations of things she prayed for and visions she had that would happen. When we got off that bus, we got off that bus to go visit her. She saw me getting off the bus. She said, that's him. That's the one I saw in the vision that was going to come. And she couldn't read or write. But she encountered the Lord all the time. So we have so little excuses because this is encounter for dummies. God makes it so easy for us. And it's all about him. Christianity is not a formula. You can't memorize Christianity. It's a relationship with a person. And that person is prepared to fully express himself in you every single day. That's walking in perpetual revival. And again, what we want to see happen this weekend is any barriers, any things that are weighing you down. In other words, if I'm complete in Christ, I become a Christian, and the life of Christ is releasing me, there's all those amazing encounters, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just about that life being released to me. It should happen the moment you get saved, actually, if you read it biblically. And that was Wimber's real theology about that. And so, but let's just say you have this backpack of stuff in your life. So you have, it's full of rocks. You know, divorced parents, abuse, rejection, self-rejection, stuff went on here or there, losses, abandonment, all those kind of things are like this backpack full of rocks. But you live, you have the supernatural life of Christ in you, and you can kind of walk that thing out. But it's a little hard, and as you keep walking out and appropriate the life of Christ, those rocks will begin to just go away, just kind of fall out of the bag. You learn to trust Jesus with this issue and that issue. But we can make it a lot easier. We can just do things like inner healing and deliverance, rid the backpack of all the rocks, and then now say, walk it out, and it's a lot easier to do that. And learn how to not on our own toss new rocks in the backpack. Alrighty? And you know how you do that? You do it with sin. And I'm going to tell you something. Let's just stop for a second. One of the most prevalent sin is the sin of self-rejection. Now let me just tell you this word. I said it to you earlier. I'll say it to you again over the weekend. You don't have the right to think anything if it's something God doesn't think. If God doesn't think it, you don't have the right to. And that's also true about you. You don't have the right to think anything about you that God doesn't think. If you do, that's sin. Now hear me. It's really important. Let's just do a little work right now. How about it? What's the Bible say about thoughts that are raised up against the knowledge of God, what God, who God is and what God thinks? You take them captive. How many of them? Every one of them. And we're going to hopefully learn how to do that this weekend. That sounds like a daunting task, but it really isn't. Holy Spirit's there. He's able to say, that's garbage. Again, in Psalm 139, it says this. How precious are his thoughts toward me, and how vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more numerous than the sand. Do you know how many grains of sand there is in the world? Mm-mm. And God's thoughts of you that are precious outnumber that. Now the word precious there is a Hebrew word that means a prize thing, something that's priceless to God. So God says he thinks every thought that he has about you and me is a precious, prized thing to him. This is when there's a place in there, but I want to say it just right. I think is amazing. From Psalm 139. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. Now hear this. Part of the same verse. When I awake, I am still with you. Lord, every time I awake, you're thinking precious thoughts about me that are prizes to you. They're choice things to you. They're priceless. How vast is the sum of them? Do you live your life that way? Do you wake up in the morning knowing that God is thinking that every thought about you he prizes? You see, I had to come to a place in my life. See, garbage in, garbage out. If you entertain garbage, it comes out of your emotions, it comes out of your mind, it comes out of your thought life and out of your mouth. You know that? How many times you say things like, I just look stupid, I just look so fat, I look like this. Look, if God tells you to do things like lose weight because you're easier to serve him better, love people better, all that kind of thing, do healthy things, that's good. But God's not more pleased to be with you or more proud of you or more or happy to identify himself with you because you're this or you're that. Give me a break. God's not that petty. There are practical reasons to be healthy, right? So those are good things to do. But we, how many of us, we think things about ourselves? How many of you have spent time, you know, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, how many of you have spent time in a situation or setting fantasizing, wishing you look like that person? Or wishing you had a personality like that person? Wishing you had their hair, you had their body. You know, that you had their face, you had their nose. Hating the fact, man, I just wish I weren't bald. I wish I weren't fat. I wish I didn't have red hair. I wish, you know, I tell everybody, I used to tell people, I always all my life wanted to grow up look like Robert Redford. I turned out look like Dom DeLuise. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life hating myself? And I can't tell you how many years I spent comparing myself to other people, wondering how life would have been so much better if I was skinny and had black curly hair. I actually do have black curly hair. This is a toupee I wear just to keep me from being puffed. God has precious thoughts for me, who I am, as I am. He may say to me, Chuck, get healthier or do this. You're getting older. It's harder for you to do, you know, yada, yada. But that's not about whether he accepts me or rejects me. How vast are the sum of them? And I had to come to a place in my life where I repented of all the thoughts of self-rejection, all the thoughts of comparing myself to others, wishing I was like them, wishing I looked like them, wishing I had what they had, wishing I had their ministry or their voice or their platform in life, their whatever. That's sin. And it creates garbage in your emotions. And you have to come to a place, and I'm going to challenge you right now. Here's your first inner healing thing. Truth can bring inner healing, right? But I want to talk to you about this. I want every one of you who've done that to repent right now and to tell the Lord you don't have the right to think about you things he doesn't think about you. And God doesn't look at you and think, well, I wish you had more hair like that person. I wish you looked like this. I wish your personality was like that person's personality. It says in that passage in Psalm 139, you've been skillfully wrought. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. The word there is God, when he made you, he did it with awe. God, that's just amazing to me, that God was so careful. He didn't want to make one mistake. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, skillfully wrought. He said, your inward parts, that's all your inside stuff, your personality. He says, your frame was skillfully wrought. Everything about you on the inside, who you are on the outside, your personality, the kind of hair you have. It's time for us to stop the garbage in. Because there's nobody else like you in the world, and nobody else like you has ever lived or ever will. Only you can carry the presence of Jesus in the unique way that you can carry the presence of Jesus. The whole world, all of history, has awaited for your arrival because you carry his presence different than anyone else. He likes your personality. That's part of who Jesus is. Your personality is Jesus' personality. My personality is Jesus' personality. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. And we have to come to a place in our life where we repent. And stop wishing we look like somebody else or acted like somebody else, had a different personality than somebody else, or was more successful like somebody else. Whatever that you think success means. Success means for Jesus Christ to live his life for you all day today. Being who he wants to be in you. For you clergy, you know what? He doesn't want every one of you to have a large church. Really? No, he really doesn't. And if you're walking, allowing Christ himself to live his life for you, then he's pleased with you. It doesn't get better than Jesus being pleased with you. So let's just bow our heads real quick. Close your eyes. Let me give you an opportunity to do something. If you've been one of those ones like me, I grew up I grew up all my life wishing I looked like somebody else. Because I just figured life would be better if I looked. I've watched all those commercials. It's the guys who are real skinny and have black curly hair and get all the nice cars, and they had all the really good girlfriends, and they were just really successful and got to do all the sin with greater proliferation. People with different personality. I thought, man, I'm just like funny and just all that kind of stuff. And I had to come to a place in my life where I said, Lord, that's sin. And not one time again the rest of my life will I tolerate another thought about myself that involves rejection or that compares myself to someone else. Now, I hope that doesn't sound too simple to you, because it'll change your life. And the Holy Spirit will show you. Every time you do, He'll say, whoops. You see, here's the thing you need to understand. And just imagine this whole repentance and all this kind of stuff, cleansing. Imagine yourself with a cup in your hand. And this cup's got in it things like, we'll talk about more this weekend, but let's just say it's got things in it like self-rejection, vain imaginations, fantasizing that you were somebody else, or you were more talented, or you were in this situation. Just the discontentment. All those things with yourself, your circumstance. So just imagine that in your cup, and it's a dirty thing. And here's Jesus standing with this golden pitcher full of water. It's the Holy Spirit. He just wants to fill your experience. But He's not going to fill a dirty cup. So you just come to Him and you go, Lord Jesus, there's this dirty cup. There is, we're talking about this one thing. Man, I reject myself all the time. I compare myself to others all the time. I fantasize about being somebody else all the time. And I just ask You to forgive me for doing that, Lord, and now cleanse this cup with Your blood. And when He does, He takes that thing out, then He fills it. When it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the word comforted in that place in the Sermon on the Mount is the word paraclete, Holy Spirit. Every time I'm honest about my sin and go before the Lord, He paracletes you. He fills you again. It's one of the ways we walk in perpetual revival. So that's who you are tonight. If your cup's full of that little dirty thing of self-rejection and self-hatred, let me just start even with this, because you'll hear more about this with your teams this weekend. Even that who you are is a result of other things that happen in your life you have no control over. Circumstances, situations, the way you look, what other people have done, decisions they've made, walked out of your life, stayed in your life, whatever it is. And you've used those excuses to be miserable. You don't believe that God can take anything and turn it around and make it incredible? It says in Psalm 138, verse 8, He will perfect what concerns you. That's sort of an Old Testament Romans 8:28 thing. May not have caused it all, but He can actually cause it all to work together for good. He can use it all. David said, my lines have fallen to me in beautiful places. He can transform all that if you just believe Him. So just take all those things, particularly about self-rejection, and just bring it to Jesus. Hold your cup out. And just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for rejecting what You believe is precious. And intentionally, I'll never again entertain the thought of self-rejection. I wish I was like them. I wish I was like her. I wish I was like him. And you know what? You're going to stop a lot of garbage from coming in and a lot of garbage from going out. Holy Spirit, just help them now. Get real before You. Lord, if Your thoughts towards us are precious, if when we wake up You're thinking about us with these prized thoughts, how vast is the sum of them, if we're skillfully wrought by a perfect God who yet made us fearfully and wonderfully. Lord, forgive me for all the time I've spent wishing I was somebody else. I just thank You, Lord, that my frame was skillfully wrought, my personality was skillfully wrought. How I look, how I am, who I am, my tendencies and all those things about my personality. Holy Spirit, come now. Just set them free. Set them free to never intentionally entertain another thought like that as long as they live. Just heal that part of their humanity, Lord. Heal that brokenness now, Holy Spirit. You ask the question like, well, is that really that simple? I'm telling you. When I did that in my life, it changed my life forever. In a moment. Because I realized how much time I'd spent doing that. All right, and you can all look up. Now you're in a safe environment, and so for the next few days, practice the presence of the Lord in that area. If that thing comes to you in one thought, stop. And if you give into it for a few minutes or a second or a few seconds, you can give into it, just go, Lord, here's my cup again. And He'll just cleanse it again and fill you again until you develop the habit of biblical self-celebration. If He thinks you're precious, don't you think you have the right to think you are? I think Jed's precious. Don't you think Jed's precious, Jed?
I do.
I like Chuck a lot. I don't like all the things that Chuck does sometimes in terms of sin, but I'm really, I wouldn't trade my head for your hair any time of the, ever. Right, David? You're the good Pacello. It's the one with the hair that we have troubles with. You know, it's not that you're bald. God just thought you were so good looking, you grew more face. Amen? How do I? That's right. Right, David? That's right. Amen. Red-headed people are God's favorite. Everybody knows that anyway. I really like Chuck. I like Chuck because Chuck could never carry the presence of the Lord without being who Chuck is. And I don't want your experience, I want my experience. You see? Because in my experience, because that's the one that God's given me, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I like my earthen vessel. And this treasure makes my earthen vessel spectacularly significant and important. We'll look at that verse on tomorrow. And I wouldn't want anybody else's earthen vessel. Now, am I going after trying to get healthier? Yes, all those things, that's normal. But I'm not hating myself along the way. You can't think anything about you that He doesn't think. Ever. And I got the verse wrong. It's Micah 7:18. He delights in unending love. I mean, He delights in loving you. He doesn't feel stuck with you. He delights in loving you. You can be honest with Him about anything, right? All righty. Well, let's just remember the little image about the cup, okay? That was one of the images they used in the East African revival that saw millions of people surrender their life to Christ and come into revival. That little image about the cup. And God will teach us how to keep the cup clean. You with me?
Amen.
Because Jesus doesn't habitate in dimpsty dumpsters. And our thought life sometimes is like that, isn't it? Well, Father, I just thank You for all these wonderful people. Bless them, O God. Give them a good night's sleep. May the Word just take root. It's the Word implanted that can save a life, change a life, transform a person. God, may the Word be implanted, everything You've spoken tonight about just repentance, about who we are in Christ, about being complete in Christ, Lord. This calls the Word to be implanted, to grow. Protect the Word, Lord, from the birds of the air. May the seed grow deep. Bring forth a 100-fold harvest in Jesus' name. Amen.